This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
The sexually transmitted infection gonorrhea is on the rise, and so is a community concern about growing antibiotic resistance to its treatment. But are STIs becoming untreatable superbugs? Is PrEP responsible for the rise in gonorrhea? What do we and our doctors need to know? Ian Muchmore investigates.
I think the use of the term superbug is really problematic in these kinds of articles because I think it just evokes a lot of fear-mongering and hyperbole for people.
When the World Health Organization says that antibiotic resistance is growing and a major threat to global human health, it sounds pretty worrying. The sexually transmitted infection gonorrhea is on the rise, and so is community concern about antibiotic resistance to its treatment. The popular media talks of superbugs and potentially untreatable sexually transmitted infections. The headline in The Age last week proclaimed gonorrhea superbugs triple in 6 months. In a report last week, the Australian Commission on Safety and Quality in Healthcare said that there'd been a 160% increase in antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea in Australia. I spoke to Professor John Turnage, their senior medical advisor, about what they found.
To our surprise, it found that it had emerged quite early in Australia and has been spreading and appearing in little outbreaks right across the country now. Still at a relatively low level, probably 5% or less of the gonorrhea strains are resistant to the azithromycin antibiotic. The good news for everybody is that the main drug's still working and resistance to it in Australia is rare. But we never want to get into the situation where gonorrhea becomes untreatable because of the long-term effects of gonorrhea. The initial infection itself is often minor. It doesn't threaten your life or anything. But the long-term complications of gonorrhea are huge for women. It includes infertility. For men, it includes a lot of complications in the genitourinary tract. None of those we would wish on anybody. Gonorrhea has been so easy to treat over these last 70 years. We've always had the next drug. So we're hopeful that we'll always be able to find the next drug for gonorrhea.
The Kirby Institute says that cases of gonorrhea in gay and bisexual men are about a third higher than they were 5 years ago. And whilst gay and bisexual men remain the most impacted, gonorrhea is rising even more rapidly in the wider population, and cases in women have doubled in the same period. I also spoke to Anthony K.J. Smith from the M Clinic Sexual Health Service in Perth and Dr. Eric Chow, a doctor at Melbourne Sexual Health Service, about what this means for LGBTI people, especially but not only gay men.
Gonorrhea has been increasing very rapidly over the last few years among the LGBT populations. Gonorrhea in the throat has the highest prevalence among the gay men populations, which we are still working out what's the reason driving this. We actually prescribe more antibiotics. So the most worrying thing that we need to consider is about increasing antibiotic use and which makes gonorrhea to become a super bug and very hard to treat.
So people tend to ask about these sort of super bugs, and I guess I use that with inverted commas a little bit. When they hear these kinds of news reports, certainly people are wary of, you know, sort of abusing antibiotics in general, just because they know that antibiotic resistance is kind of a global issue for many different types of bacteria. But they only tend to, you know, really be asking about these sort of STI superbugs when these news reports come out.
Superbug doesn't have, if you like, a medical definition. It's a lay term that we've all come to use to describe multi-antibiotic resistant organisms. Superbug means untreatable with the current treatments.
So when you see a headline that says superbugs increased by 160% in 6 months, as we did last week, how do we respond to that?
Well, that's an incorrect one in term reference to the azithromycin-resistant gonorrhea. It's not anywhere near superbug. It is quite treatable, and that's the important thing, is that the real message to come out of this report for azithromycin-resistant gonorrhea is the drug that we thought was protecting us not working as well as we hoped anymore, and the people who need to be concerned are the treating doctors.
Do you think superbug is a useful term?
This is actually a really good question that I have never thought of. We are actually seeing lots of increase in gonorrhea over the last few years, not just in LGBT population. We're actually seeing a lot, an increase in heterosexual population as well. So although I think it's lucky that we still haven't front too many resistant cases in Australia, but if this is happening overseas, is it possible that the resistance can actually be importing into Australia, and who knows?
Well, that's a global concern, and it's certainly a concern for Australia, because gonorrhea has been so easily managed with this ceftriaxone drug, which came along because we've got resistant penicillin and we got resistant to ciprofloxacin and a whole lot of other drugs. So we've been very reliant on ceftriaxone for treatment. We're confident that the resistance is rare. It's monitored extremely closely across the country, and there were less than 10 cases right across Australia in the last 2 years. As I said, gonorrhea, we don't see it reaching the superbug territory in my lifetime or ever, possibly.
At this point in time, I'm not concerned that gonorrhea will become untreatable in Australia. That being said, you know, STIs travel around, and that means that resistant versions of them can travel around. We're a pretty porous world, so, you know, diseases do transmit around the world quite easily. Certainly in the future, that may become an issue. So it's not necessarily very useful information for the sort of layperson. You know, the take-home messages, again, need to be that people, you know, need to test regularly and take care of one another. So, you know, I think these sorts of superbug articles sometimes tend to do a bit of prep shaming as well. So they tend to blame prep for the sort of rise of STIs. But honestly, anyone who's having any kind of sex is somewhat responsible for STIs, given that bacterial STIs transmit through any kind of sex. And I don't know anyone who uses condoms for oral sex, but pharyngeal gonorrhea, that is gonorrhea in the throat, is one of the most common places to find gonorrhea. When it comes to gonorrhea, it's probably more about oral sex.
Not many people actually know saliva can carry gonorrhea. So that will actually make people think it's a safe way, but it probably not, because if saliva contains gonorrhea, it can actually transmit it very easily through different sexual practices that involve saliva. We probably need to promote testing. I think testing is very important. Like regular testing to have a timely early diagnosis, and people will get treated. This is actually because most of the cases, particularly in the throat and in the anus, is asymptomatic. They don't really have symptoms. So people may have the infection and they are not aware of the infection, and they can pass to their partners.
You know, using things like superbug is really problematic, and it just evokes too many different metaphors. We need to use language that isn't sort of riddled with those kinds of metaphors. We need to be frank and open and honest. We need to emphasize that people have choice and uphold the kinds of choices that are good for the community and good for each other, and treat one another with respect, with consent, and also are honest that, you know, we are vulnerable and sometimes we don't make the best decisions. And how do we help each other when we don't make those best decisions? Being frank about it and not necessarily scaring people is the best way to go with these kinds of conversations.
That was Ian Muchamore speaking with Professor John Turnage, Anthony AJ Smith and Dr. Eric Chow.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.